Greetings in Jesus' name again this morning. Certainly been a blessing being here and devotional meditation. And I had no idea that my cousin Jonathan was going to be here this morning, so it's good to see y'all. So we want to continue in the spirit of worship and just ask for your continued presence as we go through this message. Reading just a few verses in Galatians chapter 1, it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I heard the song this morning, "Oh, for a closer walk with thee." I would almost wish we could sing that song. Could we sing that song? I think it's on page number 360. And that is really my prayer this morning for me and for each one of us. And I trust that that's in our heart. That is really our desire to have a closer walk with God. Shall we sing? "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the land. Where thank you for that, and I trust, I hope that is each one of our desire and our prayer this morning for a closer walk with God. In Peter, it tells us who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. So as we think of that this morning, I just thank God for the finished work of Calvary, for the precious, precious blood of Jesus, the atonement, through the atonement that we can have forgiveness of sins, redemption, salvation, and peace with God. The love of God, his love for us, is greater than anyone that you have ever seen. Greater than any person that you have ever seen that loved you, his love is greater for us, for you, than anyone you've ever seen. And as we think of that this morning, just as drawing our minds to God and the Lord Jesus Christ and thinking of his ministry, when he was here on earth, he condescended. Think of it, he came from heaven on high, the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth. The creator was, the Bible tells us, nothing was created that he did not create. God became Jesus, it tells us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when Jesus was here in his ministry, he healed physical sight. He healed the blind. He did many of those miracles. You all know those. His primary mission was, though, to open the eyes of the spiritual blind. And we still have many in our world today that have not experienced that spiritual healing that Jesus alone can bring. I trust this morning that every one of us here have experienced that. And the blindness that Satan brings and the blindness of our own carnal nature and those things has been taken away, and we've been born by the Spirit of God, and we have a relationship with him and are of his kingdom. As we're born into his kingdom, he delivers us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we know, I don't have to tell you this morning, there's much darkness in this world, much darkness. And as I think of that, if we have been delivered from this present evil world and living in the light of the gospel, then, as I said the other evening, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And if we have experienced that being born again by the Spirit of God, then I trust that there's no one here this morning that is ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would to God that God would help us. It's the good news of salvation. It is the power of the living Word of God. And we want to look at the Word of God this morning. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And we know that what the Scriptures would tell us, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. It reaches the very foundation of life, active and alive, the Word of God. It exposes sin in one's life. And so as we read the Word of God, I believe if we read it with an open heart, as a mirror before us, as the Word of God would tell us, then we look at it, we read it, and we apply it to our hearts and lives. And as we look into a mirror and we see something not right, if we just walk away and don't make any difference, don't attend to that and take care of that, then we aren't changed. And that is the same way it is in the spiritual sense. And so just thinking briefly of the infallible Word of God, this book that we have, Psalm 119:89 tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." How long is forever? Forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." 1 Peter 1:25 tells us, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." That's the Word of God. So we want to look this morning just briefly of the two kingdoms, the heavenly kingdom and the earthly kingdom. And we know that it's a vast difference, the earthly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom. There are two kingdoms. And usually when there's a kingdom, there's a king of that kingdom. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is the king of the heavenly kingdom. And the worldly kingdom, we know, is the enemy of our soul. So we want to look at that this briefly. Light and darkness. We are on the earth, we are here in this world with both. We live among those that are of the heavenly kingdom, and we associate with those that are of the worldly kingdom. We're here amongst this kingdom. And so how do we determine and how are we directed and how that we should live our lives? And we have it here, the Word of God, the infallible Word of God. We are to be a light, and as it were, the body of Christ here in this nation, even that we're living in. But is it not good to be of the everlasting kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom that's going to stand forever? And we could go back to Daniel and it prophesies about that. All other kingdoms are going to fall, but his kingdom is going to stand forever. Now, I want to think briefly this morning about, our nation, the United States of America. And some of you young ones do not remember these days, but I remember back in 1962 and 1963, if I'm not mistaken, when Bible reading was taken out of church here in the United States of America, where it was founded on the principles of God's Word. And I'm not saying it was all perfect, but at least that was the intent. And back at that time, they took prayer, Bible reading out of schools. And from that day forward, it has gone not so well. And I won't have to elaborate on that. In 1973, the Supreme Court ruled that abortion is legal. And now we know, if you understand, that was just recently. It's amazing, has been taken back. In 2015, it seems like just going downhill. Same-sex marriages were allowed. And so we're living in this nation, in this world, where we're among people that are of the kingdom of darkness, and also it's such a blessing to be among brothers and sisters in Christ. It's such a blessing. You can go, I was all the way in Kenya just 2 weeks ago today, and I was preaching there. And a beautiful setting, a small group of people, but God, people that have been born by the Spirit of God and were sincere in their life and their walk with God. And it was just a blessing to be there. And all the way across the ocean. And yeah, but it was just really a blessing. So I want to think this morning of the United States of America, the Constitution of this nation. The Constitution of the United States. And as I thought of that, the founding forefathers of this nation, they wrote up the Constitution with foresight. They were not thinking of just right then, but they were thinking about 200 years from then. And they wrote up this Constitution with vision. They tried to determine to put in place what was needed for safeguarding anything that could destroy this nation. That Constitution still stands. That Constitution is still in place. What does Constitution mean? I looked that up. It says the basic beliefs and laws of a nation. State that establish the powers and duties of the government and guarantees certain rights to the people in it. That's the Constitution, and they wrote it up for the good, not only for right then, but in years to come. And so think of that today, and I'm just bringing this out. It is really not that important to bring it out that I want to look at something later. So today we have the United States Constitution. We have those that they call on the far left, and we have those that they say are on the right, and we have the liberals, we have the conservatives. Leaders, I want us to understand, leaders that make an oath to honor and keep the Constitution of the United States. They look at the same Constitution, but are so far apart on it. Looking and reading at the same Constitution, and yet they're so far apart. They want to make amendments. And I had to think of the Article 2 and Article 12, and I hear of it, and I don't even know exactly what it is. That's not that concerning. But as I think of that, you think about the vast difference between those people, but they're reading the same Constitution. Now let's look at the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of God. But, well, before I get into that, may I continue? Conservatives, the liberals. Then we have the media. When we have the news, the media publishes. They publish exactly what they want. Some leave out bad news. Some leave out good news. My question this morning is, does that affect the people of the United States of America, living in America? The news, what the news media puts out, does that... I heard one of you, brethren, tell me that it is today where you can't believe really what you hear. And so, does that affect the people in this nation? The media that puts out, leaves out, and adds to the good or the bad, does that affect the people of the United States of America? Now let's look at the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of God. And we have the Constitution of the Kingdom of God right before us. And it is this Bible, the infallible Word of God. Who wrote this here? Was it our forefathers? How does it tell us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? And it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. I'm not saying all that right. Maybe I should turn to that. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is the Constitution of the Kingdom of God. It is for that purpose. And it is inspired by the Word, by God Himself. Yes, many different men wrote, I'm thinking especially of the New Testament, but the whole Bible. And as we think of that, it was inspired by the Spirit of God as they wrote that, and it is His Word that will stand forever. He gave us the four Gospels, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Jesus in the four Gospels, it is written out and it gives us directives and it gives us what we need to know how that we can be born again. For over 2,000 years, this Constitution, the New Testament, has been the same. Now, it has been the same, but I want us to notice some other translations, and let's be aware of new translations that leave out some and add to, and I tell us, be aware. That's all I'm going to say on that. But the New Testament, we have to think of legal entrance into the kingdom of God, and that is through the new birth. Born again by the Spirit of God, born into the kingdom of God, brought out of darkness into light, walking in light and following the Constitution of the kingdom of God. It shows us and tells us how that we should live our lives. But I want to bring to our attention this morning how I'm just amazed how Christendom reads this Constitution, understands it, lives it out in so very different ways. Why is this? I've thought about that. Why is this? We can read the same thing as those in the United States read that Constitution, and it's so wide and so different. And yet, as I think of that, why is this? Is it the news media? And who is the news media of the kingdom of God? It can be ministers, it can be fathers, it can be mothers that are teaching in different ways that are not according to the word of God. And if that news media is not right, and those that are proclaiming that is not right, do you think with me it affects the people? Does it affect the people that here that are supposed to be ordained men of God preaching and not teaching the truth out of this Constitution? And it troubles me that we can read the same thing and come up with so vast difference in really what is truth. And we have it in our land today, in our nation, where teaching is going forth out from the pulpits in the United States that is not right. It is not sound. And maybe we will touch on that a little bit later. But does that affect the people? And I say even in the Anabaptist churches, I think that we need to be very careful. There are going to be false teachers. The Bible predicts that and says that. Does that affect the people? And the title of the message this morning is, We're Going Back to the Absolutes. We're going back to the absolutes. And I've asked them to sing a song on the system here. Can you do that at this time? I want you to listen to the words of this song.
To death do us part. Does the poem reflect the heart? Aaron's faces tell worried minds, while children search but can't seem to find. It's time we took a closer look, got back to living by the Holy Book. No compromise, let's don't get slack, 'cause we'll go forward if we'll just go back. We've got to go back to living truth. We're going back to the absolutes, back to where the church stands strong, back to see the differences like day and night. We're going back to things above. We're going back to our first love. We'll know a tree by the fruit we see. Serving God has no end. He said lukewarm will have no part. It's coming down to in or out. There's no time for playing around. We're going back to lost or found. We're going back to stand our ground. We've got to go back to living true. We're going back to the absolutes, back to where the church stands strong, back to where there's a right and there is a wrong, back to where it's black or white. You see the differences like day and night. We're going back to things above. We're going back to our first love. Then we will rise like a sleeping giant, standing tall in God's strength and might, the power we've claimed for so long. It's returning, we're being made strong. We're not looking to the right or left. Our eyes are spirit-led. We're going back to true or false. We're going back to Calvary's cross. We've got to go back to living true. We're going back to the absolutes, back to where the church stands strong, back to where there's a right and there is a wrong, back to where it's black or white. You see the differences like day and night. We're going back to things above. We're going back to our first love.
Thank you for that. And there are many absolutes in God's word. And it's no way that we can touch on all of those absolutes this morning. But as we think of going back to Calvary, going back to where we first experienced that in our lives, and as Jonathan brought out this morning about the cross spells suffering, it spells death, dying to self and being risen with the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to Calvary. And I realized this morning that the principles in this word can be, application can be made in many different ways. And I'm not focusing on that this morning, but simply as we think of some of the absolutes in God's word that our nation, and as the song brought out, that the church stands strong on the word of God. Dear people, if we get away from that, we're going the wrong way. I had to think of the children of Israel seeing and experiencing God's power in so many ways and so many different times, their deliverance out of Egypt, and yet over and over, so soon they turned away. And as it is so often, too often, it seems like we don't experience the power of God in our lives as we should. That's available with us because so soon we can be influenced by this world that we're living in, society. And my desire this morning is to stir up our pure minds. And I think of God's promises. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. And the many promises, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we could turn to many other scriptures as we think of the promises of God. But to enter into this kingdom that I'm speaking about this morning, the kingdom of God, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into that kingdom. That is the foundation of life in Christ Jesus, is being born by the Spirit of God, his Spirit indwelling us, having our sins washed away, and being directed by his Spirit and by his word, and we live it out. And by our hearts, in our hearts, our desires for a closer walk with him. Every day of our life, our devotion to him. And yet we are taken up in this world, and I this is for me first of all this morning. But there is another kingdom, a kingdom of this world, darkness, as I already said, the God of this world. And the United States of America is not only the nation, the only one nation. They contend with other nations. Likewise, we in the kingdom of God are contend with another nation, as it were, if you know what I mean. So it's an absolute truth that most of humanity is of the kingdom of darkness, according to the word of God. Most of the people in the world are of that kingdom. Matthew tells us, Maybe I better turn to get it right. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So as we think of that, it is important that as we're in there and as we experience the blessings of God, that we live by the constitution of the New Testament church. And I realize this morning the Old Testament, it is good, and we can get much instructions. Many, many messages are brought out of the Old Testament. Good. I think of the Ten Commandments and all that. But let's remember this morning, Jesus said he gave his last testament. It's the New Testament. And that is what we should focus and live on today. We can get many examples and good out of the Old Testament. But the New Testament is his last will for his church, his last will for us, his people. And so as we think of that, it is a higher standard than the Old Testament. Just for one instance, the Old Testament, they would commit adultery. But the New Testament, Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So it's a new standard. It's a higher standard. The last testament that Jesus gives to us. And I call us this morning to live by that word. I'm not downplaying the Old Testament. It is good in its place. It is good. So as we think of that, Jesus in John 17, that high priestly prayer, and I could turn to that, but for sake of time, I won't. He prayed for us. Even as he prayed for his disciples, he prayed for every one of us. Every one of us. Think of it. Jesus there prayed for us 2,000 years ago. He knew that we were going to be in this setting today. He knew every heart and everyone that is in here today. He knows all things. And so he prayed for us. And so I believe we do well to heed. I have to think of the law of sowing and reaping. It is one of the absolutes in God's word that is true. And we can go out and sow wheat in the ground, and that's what's coming up. And beloved, this morning, whatever we sow in our lives, we're going to reap. It is an absolute, it is a truth. And yes, we can be forgiven, but we're going to reap. And so I want to encourage us, young people, old people, middle-aged, all of us, let's sow in righteousness. And you will never regret. That's one promise that I can give you as young people. Decisions that you make in life, it is so important to do it following the word of God. And as you sow in righteousness, you will never regret it. Now, we go through hard times. We go through times that are difficult. But God does not allow anything to come our way that it isn't for our good. And some of those things are hard to understand. But God's ways and his thoughts are much higher than ours. He sees, I have to think of different times. I have to think of my brother-in-law that was killed by a bull. I didn't even think about that till right now. He was killed by a bull and he left my wife's sister a widow. He was 46 years old, and it was just hard. They took him to the Columbus Hospital. Me and my wife took their family to the hospital. We got there and came into the hospital, and they said that someone would be with you soon, and they act like everything was okay. Well, actually, the doctor from Montezuma was a good friend of Alan's, and he rode with the ambulance all the way over there. And I understand he told Alan just when he was getting to the hospital, don't die. But he passed away as they were coming there to the hospital. And we were sitting in there with the family when the doctor came in there and told them the sad story that he was gone. We had to take that family back to home that night. It was so hard. We did not understand. And we did not understand. But I think back of those times, and I don't know. Alan was a dairyman. I don't know if some of you would know Morris, a co-minister with me in the church there, in our church. And because his father had passed, then he started looking to his heavenly Father at a very young age, and he took interest in the universe and the creation, and now he goes all over the U.S. and giving his presentations, and he's just a blessing. And I don't know if Alan would have lived on. I don't know. Now, that's all in God's hand. But understand what I mean. We don't always understand God's ways, but they're right and they're good. But as we think of Jesus' prayer there, and how would it be if all of God's kingdom, all of God's people would live at one place? Just think of that. You know, we would not have any other influence of evilness. It would be God's kingdom. And but we know that's not the case. We are in this world. Jesus said, we're in the world, but not of the world. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. And so we're not of that kingdom. We're of another kingdom. And we fight against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and all the evils. And we could turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And if you take notice of that, it covers all of our forepart. And we are protected. But if we turn and go the other way, our back part is open. And that is the way it is. If we're marching onward in our Christian life, not only in defense, but offense against the works of darkness. I believe that we are protected and the evil one cannot penetrate and cannot get us. And so I would just encourage us to be that. In John 2:15 and 16, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so as we think of that, the love of the world, what is the love of the world? I didn't ask Michael what time I'm supposed to close here. We usually try to close around 11:30, but usually we start preaching a little bit sooner than this. So if you can give me just a little bit of time, I will try to be time conscious. But it says, love not the world. Then it goes on to say, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And how long is forever? It is forever. Praise God this morning through Jesus Christ. We don't have to be of this world and love this world. And as I think of that, the love of the world, it means the ways of the world, its passions, its pleasures, its pursuits, it's the lust of the flesh, the desires which spring from the appetite and passions, the lusts of the eye, the desires that arouse by appeal made to our eyes, the pride of life, the vainglory of the world, its foolish displays, sensuality, pride. And my concern is that we can be simulated into the world unawares. You know what I mean by that? Really unawares, and we just gradually get simulated into the world and the ways of the world. We don't have to. We don't need to. And we can refrain from that. But I want us, the Bible says over and over, be aware. It warns us about those things. But my concern is that we don't get simulated just gradually into the world and its system. I haven't read that. I don't remember if it's a poem about the church and the world walking hand in hand. It's just like it's gradually happens. We don't need to do that. In Revelations chapter 3, Michael brought that out the other evening. I think it was you. The churches there and the different churches, the last church, Laodicea, lukewarmness. And that does not have to be part of our life. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we think of that, and we're living in a time of prosperity, it is, now we may be coming into the time of, on the front edge of a recession. I'm not here to predict that. But we are living in a time of prosperity. And that is okay, and that is good, but it also should be a warning. We could turn to 1 Timothy, I think it is chapter 6, verse 17, where it says that the rich, to be aware, and not to let those things come in our lives and rule us, as it were, I'm just in my own words. But it calls us to lay up treasures in heaven. So as we think of that, where is it with us? Where is it with us? As the song that we sang, oh, for a closer walk with God each day of our life. And as we do the things, and I have to think of the missionaries out on the fields and those in Kenya and Ukraine and wherever, and we can be it right here in the United States, that we lay up treasures in heaven. They're so much more valuable than the treasures that we so call are here on earth. But ask us this morning, where is your treasure? And wherever your treasure is, there is where your heart will be also. And so may we be conscious of that, that we would lay up treasures in heaven. We could gain the whole world and lose our own soul. And what would that mean? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Then it goes on to say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? There is no escape outside of Jesus Christ. And giving our lives to him, there is no escape. And so as we think of that, he gives us directives. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, it says, take heed. See, he's telling us. Why does the word of God say, take heed? And when the word of God says, take heed or be aware, then I think we need to pay attention. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Is that possible? If it were not possible, he wouldn't give us the warning. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So sin is deceitful? The Bible says it is. For we are made partakers of Christ. Notice, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast, to the end. It is not just the beginning, but it is the end. Now, just briefly, on a few of the absolutes, I have to think of non-resistance. I have to think of non-conformity to the world. And that can be applied in different ways, but especially as to think of an unregenerated society that we're living in. I have to think of divorce, not only divorce, but divorce and remarriage. And we're living in a land where they say that is okay. It is one of the absolutes of God's word, and it stands forever. I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to have any disinformation this morning, and I would, you know what I mean by that, and I think if I stick with the word, then it's not disinformation, and I could read. If it wouldn't be for time, I would want to read some of those scriptures. But it is in those ways that people are being simulated into the world unawares. And Jesus spoke much about the world, the unregenerated hearts in the world. But the Constitution of the Kingdom directs directives for life, warning, promises, be ye holy, for I am holy. It tells us that, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I would have really liked to have had a message on purity, and it starts early in the Christian home, and I could have mentioned that night before last, but parents, I would encourage you to sit up and take note. And to know that purity in the home starts at an early age. God has built into a little child the potential for to protect that. And I believe we have the opportunity and the responsibility to protect that. And so many things can come into a family. Books and those things, and not only to a family, but to individuals. And dear young people this morning, I want you to understand your life is precious. Your life is precious. Keep it pure. God will bless you. Much more could be said on that. I don't know how much I should say on that. But we think of pornography and all those things. God help us that in the church of Jesus Christ it would not ever be mentioned. Dear young men, don't go down so low to ever do that. It has affected many people in our plain churches. Way too many. I remember an evangelist was at our church years ago, and he said he was riding in a pickup truck with a brother in the church, and for some reason the man had to slam on brakes, and out of underneath the seat slid books that were awful, he said. That's a shame. But it's one of the absolutes in God's word, be ye holy, for I am holy. Purity is a priority with God. It's a priority. And I believe unless we live holy lives, then we cannot experience the blessings of God. And I have no idea this morning if there's anyone in here that's plagued with those things. But God help us that we would allow not to have any of those things. And fathers and young men and even on the sister side, books and those things that take our minds away. It is a way that is of the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of darkness. And it is Satan and it is his work that allows those things. But the scriptures would tell us to set your affections on things above, not things on the earth. Worldliness dilutes us into a state of false security. It just does that. And I could turn to scriptures for that where it tells us to beware, beware, beware. But I thank God this morning. I want to close on a positive note. Philippians 3 verse 14 says, for our eyes are on the goal and pressing through every difficulty to reach it. Now that's, I should have read that. Now this was just something that I should have read that verse. But anyway, as I think of that, our eyes on the goal and pressing through every difficulty to reach it. Heaven is real, and heaven will be worth it all. Dearly beloved, this morning, let's fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Heaven will be worth it all. I have to think of John, what's his last name, from Withville, Virginia. His wife passed away, and before she passed, the day before she passed, I think it was, she had a vision. And she spoke to them of things that she's seen. I forget all the details, but it was something about an eagle. And she said, I see two of my children. And they say, well, how do you know it's your children? She said, they just look like my children. And she had had two miscarriages. They said, what are they? They said, they're little girls. And she went on to say, just the beauty, and I don't remember what all. And then I have to think of my wife's passing and the blessedness of that moment. The end of life is rich if we are in Christ Jesus. And how awful it is if we're not in Christ Jesus, if we're of the kingdom of this world, and we have sin in our lives, it's going to be an awful time. But as I thought of that, in the last, I'm not going to say much, but the last week of my wife's life, Thursday night, she didn't have a good night. Friday noon, I noticed she could not eat with her right hand. She had been able to do those things. Friday night, we gave her a pill so she could sleep. Saturday morning, she didn't wake up right away. And finally, I went in on the recliner and just shook her. And she said, open eyes, said, yes, I'm awake. But then she just about right away said, but I am so sleepy. All day Saturday, we were there with her. The children from out of state came. Sunday morning, she was so terrible miserable, I could not hardly stand it. I went up and had a short prayer with her, just asked for God's grace, His presence, and His peace to be in this place. And she couldn't hardly look up, but she looked up at me and said, but I have peace with Jesus. She thought I was praying that God would give her peace. That was not my prayer. Those were the last words that I ever heard her say. She tried to say something else. We couldn't make out what she was saying. But I tell you this morning, it is nothing more important than to have peace with Jesus. Nothing more important. Later that day, she could not speak anymore, but we could talk to her and she would move her arm. We knew she knew what we were saying. I told her that I'm going to hold her hand. I told her that on Saturday until the angels come to take her to glory. She said, that's wonderful, until Jesus comes to take her hand. And then later that day, I told her that the angels are going to come to carry her to glory. And that evening, she passed at about 5 minutes till 11. Just a couple of minutes before she passed, I kissed her and told her I love her. And I told her the angels are going to come carry her to glory. And within probably 2 minutes, it was 1 to 3 minutes, I don't know, she just so peacefully passed on. And you wouldn't believe the glow that came on her face and the peace. I told my family we were standing there, remember this moment. But what if I told them? What would it be if she would not have been ready to go? Beloved, this morning, it is so important that we have our sins under the blood of Christ. And we're in the kingdom of light. I know I've gone over time and I'm sorry. Shall we stand for a word of prayer?